We've been discussing, we're using prayer as a avenue of discerning certain ways of praying and certain things in our heart. So we're not actually trying to teach on prayer. We're trying to teach on using different people's approach in the Bible, like we've talked about Job and his prayer, and we talked somewhat about Jesus and his prayer, and we didn't finish that. We had to stop. So we're going to continue that. And what we were trying to discern is the difference between in our prayers praying to God, who's to Jesus, who's at the right hand of God, or having a prayer as it is to Christ who lives in us, to discern the difference between that, and to use a lot of different scriptures that can show that both of those things can go on, but there's a reason there's a difference, and there's a reason why we want to examine Christ in us, the hope of glory, and to really make it more of an intimate thing instead of just being a religious prayer. And so I kind of stopped mid-paragraph last time. And I had started reading because there was a portion here that I just felt like the way the Lord gave it to me would be much more clear than me trying to stumble through my remembrances of it. So we were talking about Jesus. We were talking about his prayer in the garden of Gethsemane. And so I'll read that out of Matthew again. then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, and I just love this is Matthew's version, Oh, my Father. And it speaks of deep intimacy when going through that. The hardship, the things that he was facing before he went to the cross. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thine will be done. And so there's kind of this thing of a prayer going up to the Father, as it were, in the throne room. And that prayer is saying, you know, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He's talking there. But the second part of that is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now that's discussing what's going on the inside of it. See, he's not trying to get the actual circumstances to move. He's wanting for him to be prepared in heart to carry out the will of the Father. Okay. So that's where we were in the, actually the middle of that paragraph. let me see here. Here it is. So when Jesus prayed, he prayed to the Father, let this pass from me. And in that sense, he's praying to the outward God, not the one, not Christ in him, the hope of glory, but he's praying to the Father. And so what did What was the answer? What answer did Jesus get when he prayed that prayer? What was the answer that he got? Kelly?
Not my will, but thine be done.
Okay. Anyone else? He didn't really get an answer from God.
No.
He's the one who said, not my will, but thine be done. I mean, isn't that interesting, though?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, you're going, something's going on the inside of him instead of from way up there.
Mm.
And that's where I'm trying to get with the sharings that we're having, that there is reality of Jesus on the inside of us where we can know God's will. We can be one with him. We can move with him without him always having to speak from above, if you will, to give specifics. And so Jesus, what I wrote was, how did God answer his prayers? He didn't. He remained silent. And he let Jesus say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus said. And God never said a word back to him. Okay. So, I wrote, he wanted Jesus to come up with the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see that again when we get to Paul and his prayers situation. So Jesus praying in the midst of the trial, feeling it so strong. How did it say? You know, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And yet, out of the inside of him comes the answer.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a wonderful reality that we have of Christ being in us. Instead of always just directing our prayers toward the Father, we can get an answer, and that answer may not even be in words. In other words, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done could actually just be a conclusion. You see what I'm saying when I say that? It's just a conclusion within him. You know what? This is what I need to do.
Yeah.
You know? This is the right thing. And of course, that's what he would choose. But in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the hard, you know, situation, there is something within us that would cry out, take this away.
Mm-hmm.
We've all experienced it. We've all probably prayed it when we shouldn't have, you know, at some time or another. But Jesus, that same Jesus that came up with it in that situation, lives in us. So how, and we're asking him for the answer? What do you think he's going to say again? He's going to say the same thing. He's going to say, let's take care of the Father's will. Let's live for his glory. So, so nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Just, what did that mean to Jesus, those words? I know there's the general, but can anybody just see a little bit deeper into, you know, if it's be possible, take this away, nevertheless. Anybody want to comment?
Submission, total submission.
Yeah. That's what it meant to him. And that was not submission to God. And here's why I'm saying it this way. It wasn't a submission to God. It was a submission to his Father. Now, here's why I'm saying that is because it's a more intimate, it's meant to be more intimate than just a religious prayer.
There's a oneness.
Well, there's a oneness of heart, and that's right. But that nevertheless I think is so powerful, you know, because it's full of recognition of what, you know what, this is what I should do without God ever having to speak anything else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's also a recognition of submission to being under the Father. But it's also a submission to the intimacy of His care for God's will, not His own. I mean, you know, a lot of times our prayers, let's be honest, sometimes we just pray, you know, or we're very, very religious with our prayer. Almighty God, you know, and He's going, look, I'm your Father. You know, and He wants the relationship to be closer. There's nothing wrong with praying, you know, to Almighty God, but even that name, you're asking, you're calling upon the person who has all the might and power to move mountains, instead of, nevertheless, don't move the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Not my will. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. So, so as we've already discussed, it meant that Jesus got the answer on the inside, and it wasn't like God dropped that in His heart, but He knew it was God. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's of that spirit and of that heart. And it was an answer that didn't push self forward. You know, like, you got to get me out of this.
Right.
You know, but put the greater desire of God ahead of our temporal desires. Now, in this case, Jesus's desire, and we discussed this a little bit, but Jesus's desire to have that removed, if you can, take this away. If that had not, if He not had not prayed that prayer, or God had answered it, maybe better saying it that way, if God had answered that prayer, then we'd all be bound for hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's
right. Yeah. So remember, I'm sure, since I got the whole cast here, remember in the play, what do you call it?
The VT.
Yeah. The VC, which is Viet Cong. Sorry.
No.
Another generation here.
That kind of warfare.
That you talked about, you know, well, remember at one point someone was saying, well, you know, but I'm doing this for them and they're getting all the benefit and I'm not getting any benefit. Well, that's just good old flesh right there. That's I want my way and I want it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want a Oompa Loompa and I want it now. Anybody? What's his name in the chocolate factory? Yeah, Willy Wonka, you know. I want it now. And there's probably not a person that's seen that that hadn't gone, ooh, that's yucky. Well, that little girl lives inside of you.
Yeah.
And is always going, I want it, I want it now.
That's right.
You have to say, this is the wrong show. This is Jesus' show, not yours. So stop showing out. All right, so... So just a scripture now, I think, that we're kind of ready to begin to hear a little wider scope here. This is a scripture out of Psalm 119, and it's I'm going to read starting at verse 67. But it's verse 67 says this, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Let me go ahead and read verse 71 too. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Okay, so the word affliction is used in every one of those verses. Yeah, every one of those verses. Should I read them again?
Yes. Mm, yeah.
All right. Now that I know I've got your attention. Because some of you are going, I've been taught it's not good for me to be afflicted. Well, God can use all things. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. All right. So now let's discuss that a little bit in light of what we've been saying and in light of Jesus' prayer. Let's try to grasp this. Much of modern day Christianity says, you know, well, if you're going through any troubles or trials, then you must be in sin, or you must be, you know, God's punishing you. There's very little real understanding that God is God. He uses all things. Have you ever heard the scripture that says all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose? And then the next verse says that purpose is that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. So what's the goal then? Okay, well, you say, well, then what's the goal in my church? Well, the goal in my church is that we never have any problems. That's not my church. I'm just saying, somebody's saying, we never have any problems. No, you know, we're always happy. Everything's always so, you know, wonderful. You know, rainbows and butterflies and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But God's church, he says all things.
That's right.
I want you to know all things.
Amen.
We say, what things? He'd say, all things. So you mean the good things? No, all things. What's the word all mean?
All.
Thank you. Work together. So what does that mean when you say work together? It doesn't mean that all things individually do that, but they are all working together so that you can have something that doesn't seem good, but it's working together with the whole. And I'm sure, I bet you anything, most of you have had a situation like you had something bad happen, and then it could even be years later, you go, huh. But I mean, you know, I've seen people that were in church service, great church service, worship, loving on the Lord, you know, and this person's really going after the Lord, and walk out to their car and have a flat tire and start kicking the tire going, why are you doing this? I'm just, you know, carrying on and cussing even. And I'm going, what was all that about in the church then? You know?
Yeah.
Where's the heart to be with the Lord and trust him that he can work all of that together? It was good that I was afflicted.
Yeah.
Okay. But see, since we don't know the end of everything, if we knew it, if every time you had a flat tire, you went out and you started to kick it, and there was a little note and said, no, this is going to work out, and here's the way it's going to work out. I'm going to do this and this and this, and then in the end you're going to be really happy. But he doesn't leave notes. He doesn't leave sticky notes. He just wants us to trust him the way that Jesus said, you know what, nevertheless, your will be done. He made it clear, look, this is hard on me, but I'm going to be with you. And sometimes it's hard. But we want him. So the scripture that we were quoting was that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And then he says in the next verse that we may be conformed to the image of his Son. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. So that can be different than just being a nominal Christian. Well, I'm saved. You know, and if we're going to talk about salvation, well, I'll sing happy songs to the Lord, you know. I'm saved, you know. You know, something bad happens and we go, well, you know, I'm unsaved right now. But no. We're not just making a decision. We're being changed into that same image from glory to glory. All right. So, I think I'm going to read these verses one more time. I think you can. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. What were you doing before he got your number? When he flatted your tire then after that. But now have I kept thy word.
Yes.
See? Kept thy word. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Can you see David? Can you see David going, you know what? I got to admit it. It's good for me that he does this. Keeps me on my toes. Keeps my heart with him. Not just when it's happy, you know, and easy seas. Okay, there's more yet. It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then the verse 75 again. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. It's almost like he's saying, I'm sorry I was kicking against him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know better than this.
Yeah.
I know better than this. I know your judgments are right. And that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me.
Thank you.
All right. So I wrote, God can rescue your body, your work, or home situation. But he would rather become the resource for the depth of your being.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. He's okay. So let's picture Jesus. Let's picture him as a rescuer. Okay. Now let's just get another picture of him as a resource, an inward resource, not a rescuer from the outward. That's, you know, God come, you know, fix this situation at work or whatever. That's fine. We can pray that. But he would rather have Christ formed in us in such a manner that it would be a nevertheless. Does that make sense? A nevertheless, not my will, I'm going to be with you. Nevertheless, I'm not going to get off from who you are just because of a temporal circumstance that you know. I used to tell my kids, you know, 100 years from now, this won't mean anything to you. And they would go, oh, thanks, Dad. But it doesn't, you know. I mean, in a lot of cases, you'd be surprised. 2 weeks or something, 2 months. Even 2 months is a lot of times too long. It's not going to stay the same. So anyway, our trust is in the Lord. He desires truth in the inward parts. That's a scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So many Christians have truth in their head. Well, that's not the truth. The Bible says this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wants truth in the inward parts. He wants to get it in us, not just in our head or not just in our doctrines. He wants truth in the inward parts, not just rescue for our outward parts, if you will. Not just come to rescue us all the time. Oh, to hear the voice of Christ flowing through us to the Father and saying, nevertheless, I'm not pushing that you do that. I'm just telling you my heart. That's what he would say. Nevertheless, not my will. You're my Father. You're God. I'm going with you. I'm figuring you know better. I'm figuring in faithfulness you have afflicted me.
Yes.
I'm figuring I can trust your judgments. So he certainly does not just want us to remain the same while we make a slave of him to our earthly existence. In other words, every time we get in trouble, oh God, come fix this. You know, it's almost like if we could just even start making a give and take relationship out of it. You know, you say, well, I don't know if I can handle nevertheless not my will, but thine be done right now in this situation. So I'm going to go with, oh God, take it away. And he'll say, okay, now next time, could you be with me? Could you? And then you start doing that enough, and then it becomes truth in the inward parts.
Yeah.
And then you begin to be conformed to the image of Christ instead of just being a good Christian when things are going good.
Yes.
All right, so... Well, you're familiar with this scripture. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. Well, we usually relegate that to church services. But we're supposed to be flowing with him based on spirit and truth. I mean, I love, and most of y'all that have been around me, I think often of the place where Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit and life. And I remember the first time the Spirit of God spoke that to me from Jesus' heart. And I remember weeping deeply because that book is his word. And I wasn't getting spirit and life out of every word. Out of every sentence, out of everything. I was getting my understanding or somebody else's understanding or whatever. And I remember going, Father, I'm sorry I have been, you know, deaf and blind and everything else. And I want, you know, and if you say it from your heart, you can't fix all that stuff. But I want your son, I want his word to ring like spirit and life in me instead of just reading a book.
Yes.
And
yes.
It shook me and it shakes me to this day. And it makes me sad that I know he's not going to just open everything all at once, but I know that every word and every sentence in here is so full. It's like a honeycomb. Have you ever found one or you, and it just pours out, you know? And that's what David said. Thy word is like a honeycomb. So we need to be brought back to the words I used were larger resources of Christ's life in us. Because now comparing Jesus is far away to answer my prayer or Jesus is in me, the Jews they had God, right? The real God.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was far away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Christianity, we're not supposed to be doing the same thing and just put God far away. He's supposed to be in us now. And so the resources of Christ's life are not being taken advantage of in a good way. In that when we get into these situations, we are ready to go with his heart. We don't have to be coaxed. It doesn't need to, you know. And we're all at different places spiritually. We're at all different levels. So we're not saying everybody's supposed to have this instantly. But we're talking about to grow up into him in all things who is the head. To grow up into him instead of having him down, having to come down and fix everything. So Jesus, when he was in this situation, you know, I am sorrowful even unto death, my soul. But he wasn't ignorant of God's ability to rescue, was he? He said, I could call 10,000 angels.
That's right.
Right now.
That's right.
But he didn't, because inside of him was still another nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could do this. Mm-hmm. You know. And, you know, sometimes our heart and our spirit isn't right, even when we're praying. We get angry, or we get, you know, and we, you know, a bully comes up in us. Lord, you know, if you'll set me free, then I'll go deal with them. Well, I think he's trying to set you free for revenge sake. You know, there's so much wrong in this world. I mean, in my opinion, and I'm sure it's not that way here in Ireland, but in the United States, it's insane. People are so, you know, hair trigger, ready to jump down somebody's throat or worse. And so it's almost unheard of that you wouldn't answer back or fight back or show your rights. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, is saying, I give you my rights, Father, and I give you your Son.
Yes, Father.
You know, I'm not going to use my rights. I'm going to give you the Son that you put within me.
Yes,
and I'm going to bless those that curse me. And I'm going to do good unto those. And see, those aren't Christian. Those are not Christian tenets that we're supposed to have. That's the nature of Christ. I mean, I think the whole point of the play was that you can't do it, wasn't it?
Yes.
You can't. Well, guess what? You can't do it. You never will be able to. It's not meant for you to do it. It's meant for him to live in you.
That's right.
The Lamb of God. That's right. The Lamb of God. The slaughtered Lamb. On the throne. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, I wrote, do you want him to be the wellspring of your resources or the wellspring of your life? The wellspring of your resources is, well, I know God will fix this, and I know God will do this for me. And I know that I've been tithing. You know, I've been going to church, you know, I've been, you know, so I know that, you know, and I've seen people that were faithfully giving financially the tithe of their money and everything, only to see them get into a bad situation where they didn't have any money, and they were so angry with God because, well, where's my money?
Right.
He's not a bank either. But he's probably come through for every one of us at one time or another financially.
Yeah.
That's something that we all have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And but that doesn't mean we call him my father the banker. He wants his son. He wants that spirit. So, yeah. So I wrote down that if Christ is in you, you are never out of inward resources. He's made unto us righteousness, redemption, wisdom, sanctification. He's our peace. He's our, we can keep going. And he said, I am that. I am that. I am that to you and to me. And when we cease approaching the Bible religiously and we start doing it based on his heart, on his spirit, then we will see major growth in these areas, because you won't care near as much for the things that you care about right now. You know, you would be able to say, well, you know, somebody broke into my car and they did this and that and they stole this and that and they broke into the house and da 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 da. Believe it or not, you can get to a place where you just go, and blessed be the name of the Lord. You know?
Amen.
And then after that, probably at least for a week after that, you'll go out to your car that's been fixed and go, thank you, blessed be the name of the Lord, because you're driving a fixed car. Don't forget, blessed be the name of the Lord when it wasn't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just be with him and love him, because that's what it really is. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your might. I've said this to our people, because we have young people and we have old people, and I've said, you know, the Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your soul. And I said, you know, an older person doesn't have the strength that one of these younger people have. But you can love him with what you got. You can love him with the strength you got. And if you get sick or you get, you know, something happens and you can't get around as much as you could, you can love the Lord with all that you got. You can't love him with something you don't have. You can love him with what you got. And that's returning to intimacy. It's a thing of the heart. It's a thing of love. It's a thing of, I care about you. I know you care about me. You've proven it a million times. I'd like some opportunities to show you back. So I wrote down, the garden of our minds needs tending. The gardens of our minds and our emotions and all that pertains to what we are, spirit, soul, and body. And I put, get it all in the light, and then after you can have a decent, then you can have a decent conversation with God. And when I said get it all into the light, that is, you know, most of us measure our Christianity by church.
Mm-hmm.
How good we are in church, you know. You know, I tithe, I sing to God. We can start going down that thing and it's like, I'm pretty good in church. You know, well, how are you outside of church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a good person. Well, how are you when things start going bad at home? Well, that's another thing, you know, because, you know, we're ready to stand up for our rights, or, you know, this shouldn't be this way. You know, God's the one who did this, folks. He made marriage, and he made it be a man and a woman, and he made it where men are hard-headed and women are beautiful. Beautiful. And so there's going to be conflict. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The devil didn't make it that way.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they were having it already. You do know who got the apple off of the tree. I know it's not an apple. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't. It doesn't matter who, you know. The enemy's going to attack one or the other. Everybody gets a turn. Everybody gets a turn. But let's take advantage of our turn to not always have to get, you know, to be right or to be the one that gets his way in this situation or whatever. It feels good just to step back and go, you know what? I don't care. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you. I want to be with you. That's all that really counts. Mm-hmm. You know, when you say that and you say that from your heart, oh my God, what a difference it can make. Whew. All right. Well, I can quit now or go a little further. What do you think? Just a little shorter. Okay.
It's not dark yet.
He said that
more. Yeah, I got it. Well, I jotted this down because I was thinking about all of the different people in the Bible. You know, Stephen, Samson. You know, I mean, Samson was strongest man alive, you know. And he seemed to be able to go through the Philistines, you know, like butter, you know. He was so strong. We've got Joseph. We've got Stephen. And in those examples, we have, like Samson, we have someone who had all the strength in the world to do what he needed. But he got put in a place where he had no strength. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that he's between these two pillars, and all of the princes and all of the head people of the Philistines are in there rejoicing over the fact that they finally, you know, defeated Samson. And Samson is standing there, and the scripture says his hair grew back, but he didn't say, I'm going to use my strength now. That was his strength that God gave him. Mm-hmm. It says he prayed, and he said, Lord, just one more time for you. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I've messed up so many times in the way that I handled this without it being in your spirit. Just give me one more time, and I want to be with you. And then it says when the temple came down on him, it says that he slew more in his death than in his life. See, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. In weakness, he won. In weakness, we see the power of God. So, that's enough for tonight, but isn't the Lord good?
Yes.
And I do appreciate the play that was put on that you guys did. But I know that it's like just reading something in the Bible or hearing a sermon. What's important is that all of those things not leave you after the play, that, and then you go to the next one and memorize what you're going to be saying for that. But the principles, mm-hmm. the principles of the cross and of the weakness of Christ being the strength of God, the power of God, the power and the wisdom of God, and that we all, as Paul said, that we all grow up together in Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, is there anyone else? I enjoyed the prayer last night at the end. Anyone would like to just pray? It doesn't have to be fancy. Just pray something from your heart. Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful word that Pastor Randy has shared today. And I pray that it would be a seed in all of our hearts and it would grow and bring forth fruit in a due season. And may our hearts not be caught up in compassionate ministry. May it not be about, may our play not be about changing minds or winning souls or helping people know you more. May it actually be about loving you and worshiping you, just giving you Jesus. May that be when we go out of there. May we not be motivated when we see someone on the street, just may not be something that when we want to share the gospel or we want to talk about Jesus that we just look and say, oh, that person needs Jesus, but rather that, Father, I pray this for me, that I love you so much. I love you so much that when I look at them, it's just, I see Jesus and I just have to go to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer about feeling bad for people or all being caught up in my emotions and trying to do things out of my own strength.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we want to do it in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just thank you for putting Jesus in us and the Holy Spirit in us. So we don't have to go to bed with our fears or our anxieties or trying to work through our problems or escape our problems or figure out how we're going to manage tomorrow. We can just be with your Son. We can commune on our bed. There's verses that say, I communed in the night. My spirit communed with the living God. Lord, we want to be with you intimately because you are in us. We want to know you beyond teaching by the person who is in us. We want to know you, Jesus, intimately within. So Holy Spirit, do a new thing in us. A new thing. A new thing that we might know him deep inside the person. Day and night, at all times, in Jesus' name.